And it's time. Yeah, Conscious Living and Power Radio. I've had a little vacation and I'm back. That could be dangerous. The vacations I have been enjoying actually involve doing some traveling. And one of them, I went on a little trip to Arkansas, Board Camp Crystal Mine. Now, there was an incentive because I had I somehow connected to these guys and saw they were having some paranormal events, activities. And I thought, well, that would be a really cool road trip. And then if anything happened, that would just be icing on the cake, not really anticipating that I would be there for, you know, some kind of harmonic convergence of a happening. But I can say that anything's possible. And if you visit, they do paranormal tours so you can get in on this. Okay, Cheryl and Orville Murphy are the folks who are in charge of all the stuff. Maybe not necessarily in charge of the paranormal. They're just kind of the beneficiaries of that at Board Camp Crystal Mine in Mena, Arkansas. So thank you guys. They're both on the line and we're going to talk about what's going on there and how this all started. And the book, you can get Beams. It gives you pictures of some of the stuff that you can go on YouTube and get levitating the videos that show levitating rocks. But it would be better if you guys set this up. Cheryl, Orville, who wants to go first? Oh, by the way, welcome.
Howdy.
Hi, Wendy. Thank you for having me. Gosh.
Okay.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, this is amazing. Everything, our paranormal activity, at least that we began noticing, started on February 18th, 2017. And we had been seeing these little flashes of light in our crystal mine. And just to back up even a little further, we opened Board Camp Crystal Mine in 2012. And it's a public digging site. And it's in the Ouachita Mountain area of West Central Arkansas. And anyway, we found crystals on our property and we developed our mine and we got federal and state licensing to do that. And we never really, I mean, we were just into the rocks, you know, we didn't really pay much attention to paranormal or metaphysical or any of that kind of stuff. And we enjoyed having the public come and dig and they love it. They seem to love it. And we've been enjoying this. But anyway, back to February then, bringing us up to February of last year, we actually had seen a few little flashes of light in the woods. And some of our metaphysical friends had told us it was the piezoelectric energy. I don't know if I always say that correctly, or pronounce that word, but piezoelectric energy. Mm-hmm. And yes, I mean, that's all scientific and that's really cool. And we know that, you know, crystals do have amazing scientific properties, natural properties of, you know, they put them in our watches, they tell time. They put them in crystal radios, and so they transmit sound, among other things. But anyway, on February 18th, that evening, my son Josh came to visit us, and we wanted to take him outside and show him these cool little flashes of light. Well, about 10 o'clock at night, we're all out, you know, in our backyard, kind of overlooking the mine property, which is about 50 acres, and anyway, all of a sudden, this white glow kind of started at the horizon. We could see the silhouettes of the tree branches on the horizon. And these three white beams of light appeared to shoot up out of the crystal mine and probably up like maybe 300 feet into the air. And I don't know, the beams maybe were about, say, 30 to 40 feet across. It was just hard to estimate. Anyway, they lasted about 10 seconds. All three of us saw the beams. We were dumbfounded. We couldn't really speak during that time as we stared at these lights.
Yeah.
And then they disappeared, and then the glow disappeared, and everything went to darkness. And so, you know, your mind is saying, okay, wait a minute. Who's out on our property with three huge commercial spotlights on a flatbed truck and we have heard no engines or anything, you know?
Yes. Yeah. You're trying to make it logical.
Exactly. So the next morning, I mean, we didn't, you know, we kind of talked about it and didn't give it too much more thought. The next morning, we walked up to the area which we pretty much identified where the beams had come from in our crystal mine. And there is a small open pit in that area where we had been digging. And by the way, we never use heavy equipment to dig. We harvest our crystals by hand. And the veins are really at the surface, so we don't have to go down very far to dig. And that's why it makes an excellent public digging site. The public has access, very easy access to the crystals being near the surface. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we had this little open pit mine area and where we estimated the beams came from. And we walked up there the next morning, which was the 19th of February, and we noticed with shock, actually, that all the metal objects were affected. So in other words, when I say metal objects, I'm talking about fence posts that were normally straight up and down. They were bent outward away from what we call the epicenter of that mine pit. And they were bent out about 20 degrees, I would say. And we also had another huge metal sign about, maybe 6 by 4 feet, very heavy. It had been standing there for 5 years with a sign on it that we're required to post by our federal government with information on it. And anyway, it was like thrown over or somebody pushed it over. And we were incredulous because we're like, wait a minute, that big old heavy sign's been there for 5 years and the wind didn't even get to it. And it was pushed over. And then we had tools, mining tools, just hand tools, you know, little shovels and stuff like that. They were strewn about. And it was very obvious that all the metal objects were affected. And Orville, being more scientifically minded than me, you know, he's saying like, hey, you know, it seems like maybe like an electromagnetic field was created or something. We don't know. But that was, you know, what we were kind of trying to figure it out. And then we called some metaphysical friends and told them. They knew about MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. They asked us if they would like to contact MUFON on our behalf, and we said, well, sure, because we want to know what's going on here, and who are you going to call? There's not really been a crime committed, so you can't call the sheriff. You know, they're going to scratch your heads and say, well, you know, no big deal.
Yeah,
we're not coming out to investigate that. And so anyway, MUFON came out and did an investigation, and they were actually quite interested because we did have the physical evidence left behind, which was the metal objects that were affected. And when they came out, they did measure with their instruments a very elevated electromagnetic field on the metal objects, like the big sign and the fence posts. And so all of these objects had been actually magnetized. And as well, they had also been polarized, which was shocking. So anyway,
explain that for a minute, because when Orville showed me how that worked, that's unique.
Yeah.
And seeing it is really impressive. Or can Orville explain what that is?
Yes.
Okay. How you doing, Wendy?
Hi there. Good to talk to you.
All right. Hey, you know, we put in some fence posts around the area just to keep the public from going inside. It's special. We just didn't want it altered. And those fence posts became magnetic after about 3 or 4 days, and they're still becoming more and more magnetic. So the strange part is somebody told us, they said, if you tap iron hard enough, like with a fence post driver, that could cause, you know, the iron to become magnetic. But these were more than just magnetic. They actually had north and south poles in the posts. And they alternate back and forth. So some of them, the north was at the top and south at the bottom. And some had south at the top and north at the bottom.
Well, how can this happen?
Go ahead.
It's seeing when Orville put the little magnetometer on it. Is that what it was that showed one direction at the top and another direction? That's phenomenal.
Right. And you know, you want phenomenal, You know, I mean, I worked for the government most of my life, and everything I did was in black and white. You know, we lived at the base of Mount Shasta, and we would see all these crystal people up there. And I thought, you know, all these metaphysical people and the crystal people and people who think, I thought, they're probably just crazy. Now I are one.
Yeah. Welcome to the club.
There you go. But once your eyes get opened, you see something, you hear something, you feel something. When you see it, you can't unsee. That's how, I mean, I was the biggest skeptic on the planet. I tell people in January, I was a skeptic. In February, I was amazed. And by March, I was a believer. So
that's a quick turnaround.
And so that was, you know, those three beams of light was the first event, you know, the major event. But after MUFON came and left and they took soil samples and did their experiments and whatever, you know, and they said, well, we'll get back to you with a formal report. And of course, they did share with us that, you know, being UFO investigators, they really believed that there was a craft hovering over our crystal mine, and they actually shot the three beams down. Maybe they were harvesting crystal energy. I mean, this is fascinating to even conceive. And, you know, a year ago, February, when all this was new to us, you know, we're scratching our heads going, wait a minute, this sounds absolutely nuts, you know?
But
these MUFON people, they're real people. I mean, many of them are retired. They volunteer their time to do these investigations. And they're awesome. They're awesome people.
The big debate around here now is, did the beams come from the bottom up or from the top down?
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's amazing to me, is there's no dispute about the beams. The big dispute is, did they go up or did they go down? And everybody has their own theory. And, you know, we have people who come out here and they're saying, oh, I see orbs are here, or this probably has something dimensionally to do with the Sasquatch, or this has to do with aliens. And to me, I think it's just probably what direction you're facing at the time. Are you a looker-upper? Are you a looker-downer? Who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whatever it is, we call it the unexplained tours, because I don't unexplain. I'm not explaining any of it because I just don't know.
Well, that's the thing. That's perfect, yeah, because there's so much going on. It would be hard to give one explanation. Go ahead, Cheryl. I kind of talked over you.
No, it's fine. I was just going to say that, you know, after the MUFON came and went is when we began seeing the orbs and levitating rocks. We put game cameras out on the property and we caught amazing. I mean, the game cameras caught amazing photographs and later on videos of rocks levitating. And, you know, when we first got the SD cards out of the camera and we're looking at this stuff, we're going, what the heck? Is that rock in this picture suspended in midair? Are you kidding me? And then there was weird lights that were captured in the camera, you know, and just weird stuff. But anyway, over time then, we started to invite some friends over to see some of this stuff, which was continuing to manifest at night, particularly as well you can see it. And so we started getting witnesses to the orbs, and we could hear rocks dropping actually out in the woods, which meant, I guess, they were up in the air and they went thud when they hit the ground. You know, we don't know how this happens or anything.
It had to be somewhere. Okay, wait. Okay, that brings me to... Yeah. Troy Hudson, and this is something I did after I went down there, because when I was down there, I was exposed to some of the Sasquatch stuff. I had absolutely no idea, because when I talked to you guys before, it was all about levitating rocks and lights and orbs and sparks. And when I get down there, it's like, oh my gosh, it's a whole different world. And I hadn't in person encountered that stuff. So for me, it was just wonderful. It was excellent, because it's a different energy from the way
I
work.
What did you see and what did you feel?
And that's the problem. You can't just do a quick one time, one night encounter. For me, what I felt the first night we were there, because we stayed overnight a couple of nights, was a shift and a kind of a, I told you about Andy and I in the room swearing that this table was not where it was the next morning. To me, that was a little bit of a game. Are you paying attention? And the fact that both of us remembered it specifically in an area that the next day it had changed, gave me an idea. I was anticipating there might be something else that I was supposed to be looking for. When we went around the property on the tour, I was told in one spot where you kind of escorted us through that I was to tread lightly. It was a specific telepathic direct tread lightly and don't with reverence, basically. And I knew right then that I was in a spot where there was ancient energy, and there was, for me, how I term it was an interdimensional or transdimensional presence, which means there may be some coming and going of things that we would consider physical, but they're not in our dimension. And they may manifest as physical, but they don't share the same physical space or inhabit the space that we do. They can go in between. And so we can see them at one moment, and the next moment they'll be gone because it shifts. That area for me was a very sacred site, and they were honoring that space. So when I entered the space, I followed the instruction I got and was very careful where I walked and paid attention to what I was seeing and saw the crystals under the trees. And at that point I knew, okay, this is a way. It's almost like, for me, information, the crystals transmit and collect information. So each of those trees has a story. And mm-hmm. what's going to and from that area is basically a communication. So to me, that's what that's about. And it's not anything like we are used to. And when I was out of that area, they told me, telepathic again, look down, there's a gift. Look down, there's a gift. I'm like, no, I'm not taking anything from this area. I already got the message. And then finally, without about 15 feet, I looked down. Directly at my feet was a little crystal. And Orville, you were there because you said, well, it must be because, and you pointed to a tree and it was like its little cousin and another crystal at the bottom of this tree. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So it was the timing of me delaying until that moment and then having it right there with the tree. Again, I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that we are guided. Things happen for a reason. So for me, and then the crystals I came home with, this was the other clincher. I'll just share this. Orville he's amazing at figuring out where these crystals are. He just goes to them like just a homing pigeon there, and there's the crystal, and you just stand there dumbstruck going, how the heck? But he resonates. And so when he pulled, there's a crystal, he said, this is yours. And I was just awestruck because I would never, ever have even asked for a crystal like that. And so when I came home to basically work with it, the first time I worked with it, I sat down and I requested, and I was told to request healing, telepathic request healing. So I did that. When I held it, my whole body started, there was a vibration shift as this crystal, I felt my body shift. Okay, so this is my experience going to your space. That's why I think it's incredible that it's open to the public. And each person may or may not have an experience at that time, but they might have something, you know, like this. The crystal came with me. And this is even, you know, a really, for me, a powerful connection to that telepathic energy that I experienced. So yeah, the Sasquatch thing was the very last thing I expected.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of the Native American tribes. They show out here, you know, with their holy people, their shamans, and they come out and they bless the ground. And just to watch them and to see them do their ceremonies, and they'll come out 3, 4, 5 times a year. And
yes.
It's just really amazing. I mean, you know, these people, their whole tradition, their whole existence is just around, you know, working with nature. So and with me, you know, I can feel the crystals just kind of call to me. They got a joke around here. They call me the crystal whisperer. But, you know, I could go off in the ground and I could tell you right where they're at.
Andy and I were taking a walk, and I'm just, you know, thinking, okay, I'll pick up some little crystals because they're on the ground, you know, and so I thought, well, okay. So we didn't have any tools. We weren't digging. We were walking. I was looking to get a feel of the property and the space and the energy because it's there. And so I was feeling that and seeing if I could pick up on anything else. And Orville comes driving up and he says, "Oh, hey, y'all, forgot your bucket." "I got a bucket." And I'm like, "Okay." So then when you sat down and you were in the one area digging for a little while, and then you moved over and said, "Well, here, let's try here." And immediately, I'm just picking up little beautiful little crystals. And Orville digs in this spot, and all of a sudden, like, the ground just unloads. And you just, it's like, yeah, Orville is the crystal whisperer. There's no doubt about that. But the other thing about this, with a Native American energy, it's very strong in that area that I walk through with the crystals under the trees. This is a sacred space. It's a space of reverence, a space for prayer, of connection, but a connection to a higher element, a different way of being in the world. And that is, for as an intuitive, as what I do, that comes through very strongly in your property, on your property. Pretty incredible. I was going to say, Troy, he wrote on a blog, the Sasquatch Genome Project, Troy Hudson. He said one of the things that blew him away when he was there was that he came face to face with a levitating rock, and he guesstimated about 15 feet in the air, and realized when it hit the ground what he had seen. Were you there when he saw that?
Yes, and I would have preferred he yelled the word "duck, look out," or whatever, but he was staring like a monkey doing a math problem, and that's what got my attention. He's just looking up with these big eyes, frozen. And by the time I turned around, it already hit the ground.
Yeah, he said he has done these kinds of research, you know, investigations, especially with the Bigfoot Sasquatch kind of stories. And this, and he's also military background. So he's used to connecting dots and looking for little tiny clues and trying to pay full attention. And yet that, he said, that just blew him away.
That is amazing. And you know, the whole beginning of this saga from February to October of last year, it was more about the UFOs. And then when we met Troy, we invited him to come check it out. And he began he walked through the woods with us and showed us signs of Sasquatch in the form of these tree structures. And we knew nothing about anything about Sasquatch prior to this.
And some of those tree structures are 50, 60 years old.
And some are new, some are fresh. And we were like shocked to learn this. And so, you know, then it started making sense what a lot of people were telling us, that perhaps some kind of a portal has opened over our property, and various entities can travel interdimensionally to and from the portal. Again, something that we never would have dreamed. We would have kind of laughed or snickered, you know, behind someone's back. Who would have told us this a couple of years ago? And now probably there's plenty of people snickering at us for sharing this, which is fine. You know, I mean, skeptics are fine. We were skeptics once. And like you said earlier, you know, once your eyes are open to some of this, you know, it's like, whoa, you can't deny it, you know, once you see it. But I want to say too, just real quick, is that we are very humbled by this experience. We've wondered why here on our property? And people have said, you know, you guys always respected your property. You didn't mind that we have the equipment. You didn't blast it. You know, the energy is here and you respect nature. And maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But it's like maybe we've been chosen to be the guardians here. And we do have a great responsibility now to, you know, disseminate this information in a proper way, a proper manner. We want to guard the Sasquatch or, you know, whatever other entities may be here or coming and going. I mean, we have no idea, but it is a sacred place. And with that comes responsibility, which Orville and I both feel. And we still have our business to run, too. So, you know, we have a crystal digging business. And then we did open up our property for these tours, our unexplained tours. And we want the public to know, you know, we're very fortunate. We had a business here already, which was cool to the extent that now we are, I believe, one of the, probably the very few active sites where people can come and, you know, the public can actually come and have the possibility of experiencing this just like you did, Wendy.
Yeah.
So we're blessed to be able to have this and offer this.
Well, and that's part of it. I think it's important just to know that it is still a special area, even though it has all this activity, that you guys somehow, right place, right time, have been designated to keep an eye and keep a watch on. Because at some point, when you take things away, then like in the Amazon, you know, the lungs of the planet, you can only take so much. And there's something there that's generating the power, the energy that is a part of that space that has to stay there. So you couldn't take all the crystals away. You couldn't go in and start exploiting it. I think that's what you tapped into, was the fact that it was an honoring way of, okay, here. And then that at one point, I think there was a boom or something, and all this, these crystal, I can't remember the story, Orville, what happened on the mountain?
What opened that about the crystal? Star pit.
Okay. Yeah. The fire pit.
Yeah. The star pit. Yeah. That's where we saw this green orb moving around in one area. We had a big storm one night. We watched this orb for months, and we had a big storm one night. And then after that, the orb was gone. So I went kind of walking around down through the trees where we were spotting that orb, and this big piece of hillside opened up, and these beautiful, big, beautiful giant clusters and chloride crystals and everything, just buckets of them just laid out.
Yeah. 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 That's a special thing. There's just so much going on here. Okay. We're going to have to take a break, but the book Beams, you guys have a book that kind of gives, and this is before all this other stuff happens. So this is just like the little tip of the iceberg on what's going on there. I'm talking with Cheryl and Orville Murphy, and these are the folks who run the Board Camp Crystal Mine, Mena, Arkansas. It's worth a trip wherever you are, wherever you're from. It's at least a bookmark. Okay. If you can't make the trip, check it out. And the book Beams, we're going to talk about the UFO story that you put in there. All right, next, this is Conscious Living on Empower Radio.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and of course, companionship.
And what breed would you say Satchmo is?
I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier-hound chihuahua-looking kind of mix.
Tremendous dog.
I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle, simply marvelous.
You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this.
Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group.
And finally, the loving face lick.
It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks.
Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Conscious Living and Power Radio. Hi there, I'm Wendy. And my guests, Cheryl and Orville Murphy from the Board Camp Crystal Mind in Mena, Arkansas. And this is a phenomenal opportunity. I mean, if you haven't dug for crystals, that's the one thing. It's fun. You're going to go away with crystals because you don't have to really dig. You kind of have to, well, scrounge, scrap, scrape. it doesn't require a hard hat or anything like that. Unlike going to the Diamond Mine in Arkansas, where it's a whole lot of dirt and you walk away with maybe a tiny little bubble. If you're lucky, this was a completely different experience. Hey guys, I would like to just say I have been to that one, the Diamond Mine. And I know every once in a while they pull out some like great big piece, a specimen. But for the most part, I saw a lot of people who were just like me and just enjoyed the moments.
Right. And I know crystals aren't near worth what diamonds are worth. However, they're everywhere out here. So, anybody can come out here, any age, any ability, and can at least walk around and pick up beautiful, sparkly rocks to take home. So that's the crystal digging experience. Or you can get really down and dirty, sit in a pile of dirt, a hole in the ground with Orville, and he will show you how to find crystals by digging.
I would recommend the Orville touch. Yes. Just have him hover over you. He's there.
Yeah. He is good at that. That's for sure.
Okay. In the book, when you broke the beams, the book has a lot of great pictures. That is helpful. The other thing, though, you talk about a story, and it's this. Was this something you picked up after all this started happening? There was a story, like an abduction story from that area.
Well, we actually know somebody who had a relative who claimed that they were abducted as a child, and all through his life, he was telling that same story. And I don't believe he's gone public with that, but okay. I don't know offhand if there's any other abduction stories or not. But I mean, to me, it's fascinating. And since our eyes have been open to this, we have met the most wonderful people that have come, visited with us, either crystal digging or the tours. And, everybody has something to share. Usually what draws them to the tours is because they had an unexplained experience in their lives. Mm-hmm. And maybe they don't know much about it. Maybe they've been shy about telling too many people. Maybe they fear ridicule, or maybe they're just full blown into it. And they're like, hey, we want to get out there and check you guys out and meet you. And, and we're honored really with so many wonderful visitors that we've had so far.
And that is, to me, that is one of the greatest things to experience out here are the people who come out here looking for the experience. Yeah. Today, just before you called, we waved goodbye, but the school sent out special needs children to dig in the crystal mine. We open it up to them. And that's quite a humbling experience to have those special needs kids out here and to see them having fun. And when Josh Gates came out, they filmed the Hunt for Extraterrestrials here.
Yeah.
And, they actually got a UFO on video. And Ben Hansen, looked over the video and he goes, I don't know what it is. It's unexplained. It's an unidentified flying object. So
right. Well, and I think that's part of it. What you said when I was visiting, you were saying, not everybody has these really, billboard types of experience. And for me, I see it as people have what they need. But the people who do need like a bigger display or show, it shows up for them because you're there when you take the unexplained tours. People see orbs or they see lights or they see movement. And it's just enough to say, well, something's going on. What's happening?
Right.
And here I am to witness it,
Yes. And in fact, couple that came here last weekend, they kindly just shared their photos with me today, and they said that they would love it if we posted them on our Facebook page. So I'm going to be doing that later this afternoon or this evening. And they took probably 7 or 8 pictures of our crystal mine, of the what we call the event site. That's where the beings manifested. We're calling it the event site at this point. And that's part of our tour, is people get to go actually see the area and experience. But anyway, I'm going to be posting some of these pictures of orbs that this couple took. And we're so blessed when people share their stuff with us. And you know, to see more, yeah, you can see our videos on our YouTube channel. And that's Ford Camp Crystal Mine YouTube channel, where you can see the orbs, multiple videos of orbs and the levitating rocks.
And levitating rocks, yes.
Yeah, we just love it, though, when our visitors, you know, lot of our visitors have seen stuff and been able to photograph stuff, and sometimes they don't get around to posting everything, but we appreciate it very much, you know, when they do and share that with us.
Even when you think you haven't gotten something, when we took pictures, Andy and I were walking around just taking pictures of the spaces, and we thought one looked like there was possibly a Sasquatch back in the trees, and maybe it's moss. So this area where it appeared to be like a Sasquatch in the forefront and one in the back. Well, when I looked closer at the picture, the one in the back isn't there. The one in the front is moss, but that area designates an area that is like a protected space with all the typical markings of the Sasquatch presence. And I would not have known that if I hadn't taken that picture and identified that as a potential anomaly and went back and said, oh my gosh, look at this. It's all right here. Remember that, Orville? We kind of...
Right. And that was leading right into the area that the Native Americans called the nursery. And it wasn't right on the nursery, but it's like right at the gate. And
and the reason they call it the nursery?
Well, they call it the nursery because they think that that is where the youngs or the juvenile are being trained. Because some of the tree, the twisting and the braiding and stuff, some is a week old and some is 50 or 60 years old. So it's just everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's in this one spot, everywhere in this spot, but you don't find it anywhere else on the rest of the property or adjoining properties, only in this one area. So you can't say, oh, there was an ice storm. Ice storms cover more than, you know, 200 by 200 feet. So, and remember now, we have video cameras that are running 24/7. But we don't really have the time to go down and play it back to see what we got on the video. It's just Cheryl and I, and it's a big place, and we're trying to. So, you know, if somebody does want to volunteer to come out and help out here or help out, you know, always look at, but they got to be the right people. First thing we check is the condition of your heart. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're being called here, call here. So.
Yeah, you were looking to expand that, you know, what you're doing, the work, the business, the whole nine yards. So if there are people who are interested, and the website is easy to find, it's Board Camp Crystal Mine. Phone number is available. Once you get on the site, you can see the information for the crystal digging, the unexplained tours. And you guys are also doing a podcast, aren't you? That's what I was.
Yeah. So if we get some more help, we'll be getting everything caught up too. It's like I take one step forward and I'm 5 steps behind.
Yeah,
Talk about lost time.
Well, with the other thing that you have going for you there, the water on that property, that I know there isn't anything going on with that right now, but all of the minerals that are in the water, have you talked to anybody else about that?
No, just you. And right now, we would love to. Like I said, right now it's everything we could do just to stay above the water. So,
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking if somebody else is interested in that, they might be able to, you know, do a sample test for you to see what might be in it, and not something you're selling, but just something to get some information about what might be different or unusual about that, the water on your property.
And, you know, it is, like I said, you can't own knowledge. That would be rude. Okay. So whatever is happening here belongs to all the people of the earth anyway. It doesn't belong to us, but we're just sort of the gatekeepers. So, you know, when people come down here and to see them experience something, they're experiencing what belongs to them anyway.
Yeah.
It's theirs.
When you are doing more work, Cheryl, are you working on another book to follow up with this? Obviously, Orville just said you guys are super, super busy, but I'm asking anyway.
Well, let's put it this way. I have my notes, and I have everything dated. There is so much that has happened. Our first book, Beans, basically, it entails February to April of 2017, and that was the beginning. And like you said, actually two-thirds of the pages is pictures, because I'm really into pictures. I love photographs. I love books with photographs. And so I wanted to make sure that our book had photographs so people can
yes.
not only read about what we experienced, but hopefully understand a little better by looking at the pictures. A picture is worth a thousand words type thing. And of course, and by the way, I actually have to order some new printed copies to resell, but you can buy the Kindle version on Amazon. So if anyone is interested in getting the book, and we deeply appreciate that, of course. Yes, I'm keeping notes, have been keeping notes and dated when things happen. And, you know, I hope to get another book together, hopefully by this fall. But you know, life is so busy running a business and
yeah,
you know, just mowing. Now we're mowing the lawn. You know what I mean? That alone is huge. It's spring.
Just the
oh
basics.
My God, you know,
I have a question.
We're all busy. We're all
one
busy.
Of the guys, one of the guys who was there recently was also did, I think it was an interdimensional, transdimensional research. It was an unusual vocation, and it also included studying volcano eruptions or volcanic activity. I don't have the card in front of me. And
right.
I thought that might be a clue there. The fault lines, the ley lines, the things that are underlying that area. And is it a vortex there?
As I guess, I mean, we've been told that. I mean, you know, Orville and I have no idea. We are just going with what, you know, people have come and told us. And we have had investigators here, and there was one here when you had visited as well. And we love these people. I mean, number one, the ones that have been here have been just so awesome. And you know, they're the first to say, no, you're not crazy.
Yes.
There's something going on. We enjoy trying to approach it on a scientific level. And yeah, I mean, you know, I think most of us agree that somewhere along the line, science is going to meet spirituality, or
science is going to catch up.
Yeah, science is trying to catch up, you know, and there's so many wonderful discoveries. You know, like Orville and I, we enjoy watching the Science Channel. And if you do watch that nowadays, there's a bunch of physicists who are theorizing other dimensions. They're studying this stuff, you know, and parallel universes. And you never heard of that stuff, you know, 20 years ago. That was Star Trek stuff, you know what I mean?
Right.
And now there are scientists who are studying. I'd love to have some of those big guys, you know, those big name people out here. But for now, you know, we are attracting, you know, people who are investigators. Some of them have been trained with MUFON, which is excellent training. And some are just kind of, you know, on their own. But like you said, looking at it just from earthquake faults, for example, or volcanic activity, you know, maybe there's energy being released from deep in the earth. We cannot feel it as far as a tremor, but perhaps it's being released and it's actually causing the rocks to levitate. And why are there not all the rocks levitating, only certain ones? Well, perhaps mm-hmm. they have a certain, you know, chemical component that they're
okay.
responding
well,
to the
just,
frequency or the energy. You know, I don't have any idea. I'm trying to explain it in layman's terms. Yes,
well, and I'm going to say, just for that, the one thing that it doesn't explain is the rocks at the bottom, at the base of several trees that are specifically on one side of the tree in one area. That yes. is a real hard one to explain with geological shift.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. Very good point. And so then we have, you know, if that's the case,
it's laid out like a map. It just, you know, it's not in a language that we understand.
Yeah.
So we are gradually learning, you know, what the map says. And we're, you know, somebody had brought up, too, about a vortex or a portal or anything. They said, you know, when a door opens, you have no control over what can pass through it. So, it, you know, is it Sasquatch? Is it aliens? He goes, there's no telling what it is. You're not in control of the door.
Yeah. And that's right. The fun part about this. That's
yep.
There is no specific answer. And not only that, the people who come, like I hadn't expected the Sasquatch element. I had actually done a couple of interviews, one with Kiwani and Kelly Lapsaritis and the other one with Kathleen Odom Jones. And she was basically the source, the contact that they drew on for information for the independent film, and it's called Letters from the Big Man. And this is all about that telepathic connection with a Sasquatch being. And I'm like, oh my gosh, here I am, you know, visiting a place with this and having no clue, and yet understanding what that connection would be like, because it's,
wow.
And the quote from that, hers is Sasquatch opening hearts one human at a time. And the film is it's a really wonderful, if you haven't seen it, it's one just to check out. It's a quiet movie, but the background is nature, and where you guys are, the background is nature, and that's why it's so special. I was going to ask squirrels. I don't remember very many squirrels when we were down there. Was I just imagining that?
It all depends. It depends on the area you're at. There are certain areas that our game cam picks up everything but game. There are certain areas that the animals just don't go to. You go up on the hill up at the event site in the summertime. You know, just you walk outside, you see an ant's nest. Ants are everywhere. Ants rule the world. But you go to the event site, and there's no ants.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, in the middle of summer, you might see one or two fireflies kind of pass through the area. But otherwise, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, critters that hang out off on top of that hill.
See, that's another indication to me that there's something else going on with that area. Whatever, you know, if it's geomagnetic, if it's geothermal, if it's electromagnetic, something tells the animals that this is a space they need to avoid. And that's a clue to me.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, if it's the orbs, if it's the electromagnetic field that's measurable, if it's the mm-hmm. tree structures that we are now seeing out in our woods and stuff being moved around, whatever it is physical evidence at this
yeah.
point. It is. It's all, there is physical evidence that something unknown or something beyond our physical realm is happening. And for whatever reason, they're here. And we're trying to figure it out. You know, we're still trying to figure it out. And so that's why I say, when we've had so many wonderful people we've met who offer something, and you, Wendy, too. You know, obviously you're part of this puzzle. We're all part of the puzzle, and whatever we can offer, I mean, we want to know. We want to know your opinion and your experience here after you've been here. And we deeply appreciate that, because, you know, we're all part of the puzzle putting those pieces together. And so eventually maybe humankind will actually have some answers, or maybe we will formally be introduced to that unseen realm or realms that are out there.
Well, I think it expands your sensory perceptions. It's a place to go if you want to see if you can connect or see if something feels different. Or, you know, sometimes it's not the external sight, it's the internal intuition that you develop through this. And that part of it there is an opportunity, because you're not always going to have the same experience. And I for one, notice a huge difference between a new moon and a full moon. The energy shifts, and between the storms and the dry, there's always something that gives it a different flavor. And I've had to really pay attention to some of that one before. I didn't even register. And that's why the Native Americans draw such, I think, importance from the seasons and paying attention to those things. And that's why they're on your space. That was one thing I got, was that sacred, that old ancient energy that also had a Native American flavor to it. That was just, you know, incredible, of this presence saying that to me that this is a space that we need to honor. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, when the first natives started to come and visit us a year ago, and, you know, they would show up and say, okay, we want to go crystal digging. Oh, great. You know, and we take them out there. And then they were like amazed at what they were experiencing. And they shared with us, and we're incredulous. We're like, really? Our ground is sacred? I mean, they were telling us that. They were using that S word, sacred. It's hard to imagine. Like, yeah. Wow. How does that work? I don't understand. We don't understand. But we feel very honored and humbled, you know, by it. And it's something that, you know, like Orville said, we're the gatekeepers, the guardians, and we're trying to be responsible to share it with people in a true fashion, you know.
And at this point, I'm just enjoying the ride.
We are enjoying the ride. I've had people ask us, aren't you scared of this weird paranormal stuff that's going on? And I tell them now, like, well, what's scary is that we're kind of getting used to it. It's happening so much. Yeah. But, you know, I want to say real quick, Wendy, this is such an honor for us to be on your show and to be able to share this information virtually with the world. And what you've been doing, I think you said you've been in this business 20 years reporting the paranormal. And, you know, it's awesome. It's just awesome that you are interviewing various people and sharing this information so that people can learn. You know, people need to learn. And thank you. Thank you for doing this, you know.
Well, you guys are in such an amazing, I think, position to be able to give people an experience, something tangible, something that they can say, look, see, feel, touch, I was there. And that is so, I think, crucial with these kinds of experiences, of having something tangible. And both of you guys are in a perfect position to be able to open that up through your crystal mind.
And we've been having a lot of private tours too. People have been calling, going, we only want to come out with a handful of our own friends. With some, that's fine, you know. And so if anybody does want to do that, you know, we just don't want to deny anybody access. But we don't want to just let the place be destroyed either. So
right. We do have a limit on our public tours. On Saturday nights is our public tour night. And we do have a limit of 20 people, because that's really plenty. You know, we don't want to overwhelm the environment, so to speak, you know, with too
there
many
will
people
be no squirrels then.
Right.
The animals will be gone. Okay. Yeah. I do want to say, just in my experience, I have worked with crystals before. And crystals are unique, and they do call to you. They do sync with people. And this was a very extraordinary gift that I got from you guys, just, you know, for being a part of this. And I just want to say thank you, because I had not ever anticipated anything like that, nor did I even, you know, want that kind of, there was no want. And apparently there was a need. So thank you.
Saying that. It was our blessing. It's a blessing.
And Orville, you keep whispering. You keep, go ahead.
We need you to hurry back.
Yes.
I'm sorry, what?
I said we need you to hurry back.
Oh.
Place isn't the same without you.
This is really a cool place. I will be back. I just don't know when, but yeah, it's definitely someplace I would love to return to, because it's just a beautiful energy. We gotta go. It's been a pleasure, and you guys are in such a wonderful space. I hope that more people take advantage, when one way, shape, or form, to read the book Beams. You can get that. You can look at the videos on YouTube. You can check out the website and listen to the show that you guys do, and talking about all these extraordinary experiences.
Yes, and please give us a call. We have a phone number. Use it. I love talking
I've got
to
people. I've got the website. Yeah, we'll just share that right now. And in the meantime, if you're listening, thank you for listening. Give these guys a chance to show you what's going on here at Board Camp Crystal Mine. And of course, I went back to the site here real quick. I was going to give the phone number out, and I erased it.
I have to plug my phone back.
You give it
too.
Out.
I unplugged it during this interview, so I cannot forget to plug it back in, right?
That's right. Get that phone back in action.
Okay.
Board Camp Crystal Mine is in Mena, Arkansas. So if you are not familiar with that, do a Google and you'll find it out. There are some other places to visit down there. And the number is 479-243-0771. Thank you, Nate. Nate, my producer here, is going, here, because I did something and my screen evaporated, of course. I was holding the crystal. Maybe that did it.
That was there you it. Go. I guarantee that was it.
Too much energy. Fried the line. Okay, well, thank you, guys, and we'll be back. Andy and I really, really loved our visit, and that space is extraordinary. So one way or the other, you're going to see more people. They'll be digging crystals. They'll be bringing friends, and we'll be talking and saying that there's so much more going on that we have no idea how to put into words. It's the experience that makes it real.